interference, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. A substantial size project is composed of elements, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. If it is important for the benefit of humanity, you can be guaranteed that there will be interference that will try to delay, divert, dilute, stop, and reverse whatever progress is being made. As a matter of fact, these interference items will come into play before the project is even started. And all through the project, and after the project is done, it will still attack, trying to reverse what has been done. This is the way so-called mortal mind operates. It attacks viciously anything that is going to get rid of it. A website that is devoted to enhancing the understanding of individuals about the truth regarding mortal mind, or the belief of mortal mind, and the real mind, which is the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, that's at the top of the list of the suggestions of mortal mind to try to attack it and delete it, make it ineffective, and attempt to eradicate the entire idea and all its parts. This, in a general sense, is termed malpractice. What is the source of malpractice? Well, in all truthfulness, error has no source, because it is a mistaken view, a mistaken thought, speech, or action about truth. The fact is that nothing can really interfere with truth, because truth is omnipresent. Attempts to interfere are finite and can easily be detected if one looks for the flawlessness to see if there is any flaw whatsoever that is involved. There is always a flaw with something that is not true. Breaking down the word malpractice, mal means bad. And of course, practice means that we are really exercising something, either mentally or physically. If one takes care of their thought, then it can be a protectorate to prevent anything that is attempted. Mary Baker Eddy dealt with this throughout her entire career. Every phase of what she did had strong objections. Her family were at the top of the list. Her friends. Everybody told her never even think about finishing what she is trying to do, for it is evil, it is wrong, and she'll have nothing but trouble. Well, they were correct. She had nothing but trouble from those who were trying to stop it. Her family, her own son, friends. In fact, one of the lawsuits that she was involved in was called the Next Friends Suit. Ha! What friends were they? They were ones that wanted to eradicate the whole concept of Christian Science. Obviously, she had big objections from the medical profession, from the theological profession, everyone attacked her. The newspapers, they called her prayerless. However, she was just like Jesus. She didn't argue with anybody. She simply stated the facts, which of course were the reverse of what was proposed to be the truth. She stated about being prayerless that she prayed 3 times a day for all humanity, pointing her head to the direction of the New Jerusalem, and that she prayed specifically for the ailing and the sick and the sinful, the suffering. And of course, her prayers brought forth nothing but healing, nothing less. Her prayerful attention to the truth about God revolutionized mankind's entire sense of thinking. Science and Health is filled, the last 100 pages, with testimonies of healing, which number 465. Those are all indexed on the Mary Baker Eddy Institute website, which is mbeinstitute.org. The theme probably throughout all of those is that they had to get their thought off of the problem and to focus on what God is. Focus on what was in the text of Science and Health. Focus on the truth and not the problem. On purity, not flaws. On the truth about spirit, not trying to focus on error or impurities. Mr. Winslow defines malpractice as bad practice, and he's written 3 articles on malpractice. He basically states that we don't need to be concerned about what other people are thinking. We need to only take care of our own thinking, because we are the ones that are doing the malpractice. We are the ones that are not practicing truth, but we are letting the belief and the believer become us. Mary Baker Eddy states clearly that the belief and the believer are the same. If there is no believer, then there is no belief. When they were splitting the atom, trying to reduce it to its native nominon, they discovered there was no nominon, that the only thing that gave the appearance of substance to an atom, even the smallest little part that they were able to cut and decipher into its most singular unit, it was merely a projection of the consciousness of the ones that were viewing it. It was nothing on its own. No one had to do anything with it other than quit believing that it was real. They've proven this with sound. They've had recording and video equipment set up in a woods because they wanted to record what would happen if there was no one there to hear the sound of a crashing tree when it came down. And that's exactly what they proved. If no one was there, there was no sound. They caught the whole event on video, but there wasn't any sound to record. Mary Baker Eddy begins Science and Health with the quote from Shakespeare that says, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." Thinking makes everything an experience for the one that is doing the thinking. God is all-knowing, so for man to do any thinking is the wrong approach to solve a problem. The way to solve a problem is to understand better what real intelligence is and the source thereof. The incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind is the source, and the characteristics of mind are whatever is the characteristics of the mind of God. Because that's the only real mind there is. That is our mind. Bicknell Young was one of the first ones that discovered that when Mary Baker Eddy said, there is one mind, he finally came to the realization, and he apparently was the first one to do it, which was some 30 years after she had published her, I believe it was about 30 years or maybe 20, 25 years after she published her final edition. Her final edition was published in 1910, and he taught the class, the normal class, which is a class to prepare others to be a teacher and have their own classes and associations, and that was in 1937. So it was 27 years after Mary Baker Eddy published her final edition that he finally came to the realization that that one mind, which is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, is my mind. He was talking about himself. That's his mind. It's his mind, and it's the mind of everyone else that exists. Anyone that has any mind at all, it is a reflection of the one and only incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind of God. That's the only mind there is. If it is all-knowing, if it is all-intelligence, if it is all-wisdom, how could any mind exist except for that mind? Nothing could be functioning independent of the one and only all-knowing, all-intelligent, and all-wise mind. So why not get on the bandwagon and let that mind do our knowing, and let that mind be our source of information. Let that mind be our guide in making decisions. That's the wisdom end of it. Everything else that we do is a waste. Because number one, we don't have the big view. We are not all-knowing. So why not let the all-knowing mind draw from its infinite resource, its infinite reserve of facts? And why not listen for that mind to talk to us? It's kind of like doing a comparison using a spreadsheet, and you have several columns. And so you want to see what are the facts here with these different variables. And so you write them down in the columns, and you've got the rows so you can keep track of the status of everything. And so you can come to a conclusion by letting the facts make the decision. All you have to do is research the facts and put them in their rightful place on the spreadsheet. Then the spreadsheet makes the decision because it is the facts. The facts make the decision. If we are willing to put aside all prejudice and all bias and all preconceived notions of what we think the bottom line is going to be, we must devote our efforts to getting all the facts, putting them in the right place, and then we can clearly see what the wisdom is going to tell us. It's already done. We just have to let it happen. We have to read what the facts are and let those make the decision. It's the truth about everything that exists. There are facts. Are we going to let the facts guide us, or are we going to have our prejudice and our preconceived notions go forward with self-will and try to force something through, even though It's not from a divine source. There's a shortcut to success, and it's called TRUTH. It's called MIND. It's called SPIRIT. It's called SOUL. It's called PRINCIPLE. It's called LIFE. It's called, as already noted, TRUTH and LOVE. We have to love each one of the facts. We have to nurture it within consciousness so that it can unfold and interact with all of the other synonymous terms for God. The qualities of God, they interact in one grand network. They're just like the roots of the trees of the redwood sequoias up in Northwest California. Below the surface, which is a very shallow root system, they bond together. And their bonding together makes a unification that enables them to live for a very long time. They've recorded thousands of years. So what do we want? Do we want to guess? Do we want to dance with mortal mind and try this and try that and so forth? Or do we want to do what Mr. Rawson did, and that was to treat it and let the truth come forth to consciousness? That's what he did. People came to him from all over the world to consult with him on electrical problems. That's how he solved it. He let the one and only incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind guide him. He was considered as good as anybody could get. His own brother was considered an expert on electricity. Had all these degrees and certifications and so forth. But when they had a problem that they couldn't solve, they came to Frederick L. Rawson, the brother of the one that was supposed to be the expert. And he would solve it. Because he went to the highest power. He went to the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. He didn't go to a textbook that was written by a human that thought he had an understanding of electricity. He went to the source of all existence. That's who Mr. Rawson, Frederick L. Rawson, went to. The source of all existence. The source of all intelligence. The source of all wisdom and all knowing. The one that is the only creative mind. The one that is all capacity. The one that is all facility. All capability. The one that doesn't need to be concerned about interference because there is no other power. There is no other source. And when those qualities are recognized that were just mentioned, and they're combined with the omni-action of mind, then there's a production of what is termed power. And that becomes part of the infinite power. In other words, there is no limit to the power. And it is universal. It's omnipresent. The belief and the believer are the same. So what is going to be our belief? What we really should do is strive for infinite progression of concrete being. In other words, progressing towards the infinite truth, the truth that never changes. And that includes, of course, intelligence that is all-knowing, all-wise. That's the path that we should be following. That's the only real path to God. And remember, God isn't some esoteric thing sitting out there in the middle of nowhere, that he might come to our need if we have a real tragedy No, God is omnipresent. God is always with us, within us, within our consciousness. Will we tap it? Will we open it? Will we open the door and let it come out? Will we let it be a part of our thought? As a matter of fact, will we let it replace all personal thoughts? Because that's the real key to success. Science and health is divided into two sections. The first part, which is chapters 1 to 14, is called the book, The Science and Health. The other part, from chapters 15 to 18, is called Key to the Scriptures. That's the key. That will open up the scriptures, the Bible, the truth in the Bible, if we study it methodically, carefully, genuinely, sincerely, and with great inquisitive enthusiasm. After all, it has the power to totally reform our entire life. When we think about what God is, it is impossible to be concerned about interference. Because all we have to do is to recite what Mary Baker Eddy states in the Scientific Statement of Being and in the Definition of God on page 465 and again on page 587 in a little bit different format. And what she says is the definition of good, also on page 587. She says good is God, Spirit. And then she gives the four omnis. Omnipotence. Omniscience. Omnipresence. Omniaction. What is left out? N-O-T-H-I-N-G. How could anything be left out when the dictator of the definition was God? The all-knowing, the all-wise, the all-intelligent, God, the one that is of the substance of spirit, because God is spirit. Spirit is flawless. There can't be any mistake in anything that comes from God. The only mistake there could be is if we are not listening to the truth. If we are letting personal judgment get in the way, if we're letting personal ego get in the way. If we stick to the truth about what God is and that there is only one mind, we cannot be influenced to be a believer or a belief. Mary Baker Eddy says they're the same. The belief and the believer are the same. We cannot be either one if we stick to the absolute unvarnished truth that there is one mind, and that one mind is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Period. That's it. It's not wishy-washy. It's not on and off. It doesn't have any alloy involved. Spirit is flawless. No alloy. It's 100%. 100% truth. We have a choice. Do we want to be involved as a belief or a believer? Or do we want to stick to the truth? If we are involved in a project that is for the benefit of humanity, And we shouldn't be involved in a project if it is not for the benefit of humanity. I don't care what we are doing. We could be digging a ditch. We could be a homemaker. We could be a teacher. We could be a physicist. We could be a rocket scientist. We could be a clock repairman. Computer technician. Doesn't matter. The name, the label that is on the work that we do has absolutely nothing to do with how we should be doing it. How we should be doing it is the same way everyone else, no matter what the label is of what their work is, the way they should be doing their work. It's all the same. There's one formula. It's the shortcut to heaven. It's getting ego out of the way, looking to the one incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind for direction, and monitoring it every step of the way to make sure we don't slip off of the path, and doing it. We listen for the direction on what needs to be done, and then we do it. That listening might be making up a spreadsheet and putting all the facts there so that we can easily tell what is the correct path to pursue. It's just like driving a car or any other vehicle, being a pilot on a jet airplane, prop plane, a one-man flying vehicle. We can be skiing, snowboarding, water skiing, mountain climbing. It does not matter what we're doing. We should be approaching it the same way. We should be yielding to the one and only divine, incorporeal, supreme, and infinite mind, and letting it guide us. We're climbing a mountain. Where should I put my foot? Listen for the right place to put your foot. Look for the right place to put your foot. Don't close your eyes and just say, well, God will take me up the mountain. Jesus didn't do that when the devil tried to tempt him to jump off of the cliff. The devil tried to tell him, well, God will take care of you. Jesus says, do not tempt the Lord thy God. Do not tempt. We have to use what God makes available to us, which is omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. All capacity, all capability, all functionality, all action, all creative ability. And that turns into all power. And everything is good because God is spirit and spirit is goodness. There's no flaws in spirit. Spirit is absolutely flawless, and therefore it is transparent, and therefore it is reflective. We have to be reflecting all these qualities of God if we're going to nullify the attempt of mortal mind to bring forth an interference in what we are trying to do. Everything we do should be for the benefit of humanity. If we're working in a factory, that product should be for the benefit of humanity. It should be something of quality. It should be something that is fairly priced. It should be something that is offering a reasonable customer service. If it's not, we're working in the wrong factory. make sure that your efforts are contributing to the betterment of humanity. If not, you're not going to be able to get the satisfaction that you would otherwise get if you were working on a project that was fulfilling a need for humanity. That's where real satisfaction comes in. Making other people happy, giving something of value to other people, and of course, anonymously is the best way to do it. If you're working in a factory that is producing something for the benefit of people at a good quality and a fair price, with good customer service, then you're going to be doing it anonymously. Chances are no customer is going to be walking through the factory and looking for everybody's name and checking them out and all that kind of stuff. You're going to be anonymous. Well, that's a beautiful thing, to give anonymously. The best way to give, the most satisfying way. Since God is all in all, there is not a single thing that is God's activity that can be interfered with. Not a single thing. Because God is all good. God is all power. God is all life, truth, and love. God is all substance, all principle, all sense, which is spiritual sense. If we affirm what God is, any time the suggestion comes forth that there's a problem, that there's interference, that there's a delay, a dilution, a stoppage, or a reversal, that will fix it. There was a couple that was robbed. The robber came in and gathered up the things that he could carry and walked out. The couple who were good Christian Zionists, they knew from the moment that he came in with his gun pointed at him that truth prevails, that man is good and honest, that no one can steal because everyone already has everything they need. Need and supply are the same. You cannot have a need unless you can think of what the supply would be. That means it's already in consciousness. And you cannot have a supply that you think you no longer need unless you know that there has to be a demand for it. You can define it. If you can define it, it's in consciousness. If you can define the need that would be fulfilled with the supply that you no longer need, that defines the need, which means it's already in the atmosphere of thought. And it will all be aligned if we let God do the guiding. Well, they kept thinking about this fellow that was robbing him. And even after he left, they kept along the same line of thought that man is honest and no one could take anything from God because God's omnipresent and has everything. In a few minutes, the guy came back and knocked on the door. Had everything with him that he took. He said, "I have no idea what came over me. These things don't belong to me. They belong to you. Please take them and please forgive me for doing such a foolish thing." He had a transformation of his thought because they insisted on sticking to the truth about man, about honesty, about supply and demand being one. We can do the same thing with everything in our life. And that's what we need to do. There can't be any interference in the harmony of God's activity if we know that the God, the only God that exists, is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And that the facts about God, which is called the Word, or the first side of the city of God, four square, the operators, just like math has add, subtract, multiply, and divide, music has its operators, the science of divine metaphysics has its operators, the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, and the Word is the facts about God. They were thinking about the facts about God. The Christ is the translation or interpretation about those facts. In other words, applying whatever comes before us and translating it into a spiritual view, just like they did when the man came in and robbed him. They translated it. They interpreted it. And then we do the third thing, which is Christianity, which is demonstrating it, proving it. That means we're proving that we are interpreting it correctly. And then when we have the healing, we're into the science, which means we're in heaven on earth. We're there. We're at love. We are fulfilled. That's what they did. They had it from beginning to end. They thought about, what is God all about? How do we translate and interpret this? How do we prove that what we're thinking about is true? And then they brought the healing. Therein, in a short bit of few words, is the sum and substance of what the system of divine metaphysics is all about. Mary Baker Eddy on 146 tells us that science has now been reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the age in which we live. That's at the top of every page on the website. It is so important. We want everybody to see it, no matter what page they're on. And that's what we need to be doing our research about. What is this system all about that she says that she has reduced Christian Science to? What is the system? Well, I just explained it in a few words. But if you want to see the real meat of how to go about it, Helen Wright, which is the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, wrote a book called Your Divinity Revealed, and there are seven chapters in it, from chapter 4, which is on mind, chapter 5, which is on spirit, and chapter 10, which is on love. It goes all through all the seven of the mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Study those seven chapters. And she also gives a short summary on what the four operators are of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. If you study those, and if you listen to some of these treatments, which talk about the seven and the four, we call it the seven and the four, the seven for the seven synonymous terms, and four being the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. If you listen to some of these treatments, and we explain it in the treatments, what this is all about, and you study those chapters in that book. The whole book, of course, is valuable, but those particular seven chapters focus on the seven synonymous terms. You will have your eyes opened and you will be in a new dimension. You will leapfrog ahead of where you are right now in the understanding of the system of divine metaphysics. And as you do that, you will know that there can't be any interference in any rightful activity you're involved in. Because there's nothing out there that has the power to do it. Nothing has the mind to do it, the intelligence, the wisdom, the knowing. Nothing has the capacity, the capability, the functionality, the facility. Nothing has the action to be able to do it. Nothing has the creative ability to do it. And therefore, nothing has the power, because the power is a measurement of all those other things that are put together and come forth with a fulfillment. If we remember that there is nothing but God, and that that is what God is, as defined by Mary Baker Eddy, which is the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, and also on 587, where she says that it is principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. A little bit different order she uses there. And under good, she says that God is, or that good is God, spirit. And then she tells about the four omnis, which is omnipotence, omniscience. And omniscience means all intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. And that the third one after omniscience is omnipresence. And the fourth one is omniaction. We don't want to take the action until we get an understanding of the other three. She has a very specific reason for the order in which she says everything. Also, if you really want to keep on the path of truth, it's highly recommended that you study what is on our home page under Daily Study, which is in the top left area there under Mary Baker Eddy. It says Mary Baker Eddy, and then it says Daily Study. There are 39 topics that she recommends people study every single day. How much time should you spend studying? How fast do you want to go forward? You want to go slow at a snail's pace? If you don't move forward some, you're going to be going backwards because everything is moving. Everything is dynamic. Life is dynamic. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, truth, and love. They're all dynamic. Nothing is static. Because God is omniaction. There is no such thing as static action. Action is dynamic. It's moving. It's progressing. It's going down the path of infinite progress. Being, concrete being. No interference. Nothing has the capability to interfere. And therefore, progress is guaranteed if we will just stick to the truth in our consciousness. There is nothing but God. Amen.